Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the Gao Studios in Houston, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, great to be back from beautiful Vancouver, Canada. Great to be back on Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And a quick thank you goes out to Dynamo Radio play-by-play man Matt Peterson for hosting in my absence. Now, as always, we stream at ESPN975.com. Podcasts are at ESPN975.com. All you got to do is go to the audio vault. You click on Soccer Matters, you can go back to former shows. There is always a lot each and every week ahead of Dynamo games and ahead of competitions that are going to get played out on the weekend. So it's a great place to really bone up. It's a great place to learn about the differing players and interviews that come through here. And tonight we've got a couple of great ones. Also, you can catch the show on iTunes. A big shout out to our sponsors, because without them, soccer is not on the radio here in Houston, Texas. And without the attitude here at ESPN of understanding the importance of the global game, it's not on the radio. So it's the Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit, thank you very much. Liberty Kitchen, we talk about coral leaves and Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette. 7-Up, good friend Gene Haddock. And, of course, Bud Light, Camilo Rojas and Company. And Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, the one and only Jan Christensen. So these are great sponsors. Support them. They are a big part of the reason why we get to talk soccer each and every week. Tonight's guest, Stoke City's Jeff Cameron, is going to join me tonight. He's going to talk about a number of different things here. We're going to ask him in the interview about not being on the Gold Cup roster, because let's face it, Jeff Cameron is playing in the greatest league in the world. Jeff Cameron, outside of goalkeepers like Brad Guzan and Tim Howard, is logging more minutes at the highest level of soccer than anybody. At this very moment, he's not on the Gold Cup roster. He's going to tell you why. Christine Latham, I had the pleasure of being able to work 2015 FIFA Women's World Cup games in Canada with her up in Vancouver. We did a couple of games in BC Place. We did some games out of the IBC. Christine is going to come on the show. If you remember Christine, she played at Nebraska under John Walker in college. But she was also the leading scorer on a Canadian team that finished its highest ever in the 2003 World Cup. And she'll have some real comments on the Women's World Cup. So, for all of you that keep asking me about women's soccer talk, tonight is your night at 713-780-3776. And don't forget, the Houston Dash, and this is a story that mainstream media hasn't even touched, probably doesn't even know, 6 players from the Houston Dash are in the Women's World Cup. They're still alive. 3 of them on the United States, and 3 of them on Canada. And by the way, these ladies are playing in front of 50,000-plus fans each and every game. So, for those of you who are women's soccer fans, for those of you who clamor for more media attention, where are you? Where are you? 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-ESPN. I've got tickets to give away for Mexico-Honduras. Be ready. I've also got tickets for the CONCACAF Gold Cup. There's a doubleheader coming here, Saturday, July 11th at 5:30. It'll kick off with Jamaica against Canada. Now, think about this. Jamaica, Giles Barnes, Jermaine Taylor just came back from playing with Jamaica in the Copa America in Chile. So you, as Dynamo fans, you have an opportunity to see Giles Barnes and Jermaine Taylor representing their country right here in Houston at BBVA Compass Stadium. It's amazing. So CONCACAF Gold Cup. It's coming here. And the future at BBVA Compass Stadium with international soccer is going to continue. That's Saturday, July 11th. Tonight I've got tickets to give away for that as well, plus Dynamo and Dash tickets. So it's a night of giving. I'm in a very giving mood tonight, Michael Carroll.
You're a giver?
Yes, sir. I am a giver.
Is it Christmas in July?
It is going to be ticket heaven tonight. We are going all out to give tickets out. So here's some of the topics I've got to put on the table here tonight. 713-780-3776. I want your thoughts on the U.S. Women's National Team. And we're going to talk about why, maybe against Colombia, it was a defining moment for the women's game. Is Jill Ellis, the coach, struggling with this team tactically? Let's not forget, she took over for the Fire, Tom Sermani. Can the U.S. women win this World Cup?
Yes.
Michael says yes. Can they?
Yes.
I really want to know if it's good enough football right now to win it from you, the soccer fan. Who has been the star so far for the U.S.? And what do we have to see from them in the future? Michael says yes.
Yes.
I know you do. You're
America.
You want Abby Wambach. I know you like her.
Hey, you got to give me some Abby Wambach.
I got you. Now, here's what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. What have we learned from the Colombia game for the U.S.? What have we learned from Cameroon and France? There was a defining moment in this game when Abby Wambach missed a penalty kick, and then Alex Morgan creates one. That, to me, was kind of the official passing of the torch as to whose team this is. Because the future of this team is around Alex Morgan. And I think the team, for me, gets rather direct when Abby Wambach is out there. And this is with all due respect what she's done for the women's game. Because what she's done is beyond belief. She's historically one of the greats ever in the game. Then the question is, let's say the U.S. run the table and win this. Does the NWSL benefit from this? Will you in Houston come out and see these stars that won the Women's World Cup in front of 50,000 people? That's a real question. How do you maximize that potential? Because, let's face it, team sports, when it comes to the women's side, it's not working. Success of the U.S. team potentially this tournament, will it spike the NWSL? Because there's a Houston connection. Megan Klingenberg, Carly Lloyd, Morgan Bryan. For Canada, it's Aaron McLeod, Lauren Sesselman, and Alyssa Chapman. It's a fabulous story that no one in mainstream media has picked up on. Neymar is out in the Copa America. Maradona is wanting to be the next FIFA head man. And the whole world of football is going crazy. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number. Weigh in here tonight. This is the Best in Soccer Talk. So Jeff Cameron will be coming up on the show. We will also visit with Tom Marshall down in Guadalajara. We're going to talk about Mexico and their struggles at the Copa America. Anybody want to talk Copa America? We can do that. And then we will also talk about the future of Chicharito, how Miguel Herrera is now beginning to crack. Doing some wacky stuff, Herrera. What do you think it is with Miguel Herrera? Because we all loved him during the World Cup. Because he was so outgoing and not afraid to say things. But that was all happening when the team was doing well. Now is a real struggle. He looks stressed. He's tweeting out political thoughts. Is his ego gotten in the way? Is it pressure? What do you think it is with Miguel Herrera of Mexico right now? Now, I know some people are saying, well, if Mexico took a better team there, they would have got to the semifinals of the Copa America. Doesn't matter. They didn't. They got knocked out in the first round. They're the first team out of the Copa America. And they will have a stronger team in the Gold Cup. There's no doubt. Because the Gold Cup is huge. But guess what? Miguel Herrera has to win the Gold Cup now. Just as Jurgen Klinsmann has to win the Gold Cup for the United States. It's priority, the Gold Cup. I don't think there's any question. Quick word here for Liberty Kitchen. Let me tell you about, Liberty Kitchen and another Liberty Kitchen venture. It's Liberty Kitchen in the Heights and Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette on San Felipe near the Galleria. You will find award-winning chefs at both of these restaurants serving up the best in seafood and meats. I love the raw bar at Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette, plus the smoked salmon over at Liberty Kitchen in the Heights. Two different feels, two different vibes. The Heights is more of an Austin feel. Fresh fish, oysters, gumbo. Goes right on down to amazing steaks and burgers. If you have not had the gumbo at Liberty Kitchen, You are not living life. They are also serving breakfast on the weekends. Take it from me for an amazing dining experience. It's Liberty Kitchen and Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette. LibertyKitchen.com, LibertyKitchenOysterette.com. My good friend Carl Eves, involved here in Houston with the Houston Football Association. We thank you and Liberty Kitchen. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. Any topics in the world of soccer, they are open for you. I will just tell you, my time calling these games in Canada was absolutely amazing. Vancouver's an amazing city. The investment, and I hope you're paying attention to what's going on with Fox here, because the investment in this Women's World Cup is significant. The set they've built, the backdrops they've used, the amount of commentators they've hired to weigh in, late-night shows. You know, we saw ESPN take it to another level in the last Men's World Cup. They didn't have to do that because they don't have the rights to the next couple of World Cups. But they did. They set the bar high. And it was a beautiful thing for soccer because competition amongst TV networks is only healthy for the sport. So they set the bar high in Brazil. Well, guess what? The bar was set very high for the Women's World Cup in Canada. And I will tell you, there is no women's event that's ever been covered or had the financial investment like this. And you know, you can say what you want. This has been taken very, very seriously. This is very good for the women's game. And I'd like your thoughts. Has anybody been won over as a women's soccer fan now by watching this World Cup? Has anybody said, I've watched this World Cup, I want a little bit more of this women's soccer. I want to go down and see the Houston Dash. Have you been intrigued by it? And can you go from watching the Champions League in Europe to watching women's international soccer? Because there's some pretty darn good technical soccer players out here representing the women's side of the game. We will take a break. It's 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight as we go to break right now. And it's a 7-Up break, by the way. 7-Up Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture Break. I got two tickets. Mexico, Honduras. Speaking of watching your players, you can watch Boniac Garcia playing for Honduras against Mexico. El Tri fans, you want a pair of tickets to Mexico, Honduras? 713-780-3776. 10th caller right now. A pair of tickets to Mexico, Honduras. Let's take a break.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the Gao Studios in Houston. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back, everybody. Bud Light reminds you, soccer fans, that they are the official beer of the Houston Dynamo. Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and the Mexican national team, who, by the way, are coming to town here to Energy Stadium to take on Honduras. Bud Light reminds you to get out and catch all the international soccer coming through Houston, whether it's Mexico-Honduras over at Energy, whether it's the CONCACAF Gold Cup doubleheader, which is down at BBVA Compass Stadium. You've got tremendous opportunity. Bud Light says get down to the stadium. Support the game. Like they have supported so beautifully soccer on the radio. Bud Light is the official beer of the CONCACAF Gold Cup. And Bud Light reminds you to get down to BBVA Compass Stadium. We welcome you back to the program here tonight. So much coming on later on in the second hour. We'll have Jeff Cameron. We've got Tom Marshall down in Guadalajara, Mexico. We're talking Copa America. We will also have Christine Latham talking Women's World Cup. So the floor is open for you, 713-780-3776. We can also talk Dynamo Portland Timbers. Now, this is a significant period for the Houston Dynamo coming up. And here's why. They've got tons of players away on international duty. Brad Davis now has been called up. We're going to get to Brad in a second. I got some sound from him talking about the call-up for the U.S. national team to the Gold Cup. They're going to be missing tons of international players. Boniek Garcia, Brad Davis, Giles Barnes, Jermaine Taylor. Fortunately, Luis Garrido didn't get called up, the Dynamo holding midfielder. If you've got thoughts on this, 713-780-3776, I simply say this. Let's get on the world schedule. The rest of the world does it. Let's get on the world schedule. Let's not play MLS games devoid of our stars. Let's not put coaches in this position. Let's go into transfer markets on the same footing as the rest of the world. Would you be in favor of getting onto the world schedule? And don't tell me it's competition with other things, because soccer's always going to have competition in the United States. I'm sorry. It's going to have competition from the NFL, the NBA, lifestyle. There's always going to be competition. You can't frown from competition. Give the fans the confidence that they believe in the game. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. So, this is with all due respect. When you go to Portland to play on AstroTurf, an artificial surface, which still, by the way, stinks Portland, it stinks in Seattle, I don't care what you tell me, it makes the game combative, and sometimes we get seduced by the fact that there's amazing atmospheres there with amazing fans, but the quality of games are not necessarily the best. That is fact. I was just up calling the Women's World Cup. I only called six games. In those six games, I had at least five times where I had replays of women turning their ankle where you close your eyes going, God, did she just tear ligaments in her ankle? And it has affected the game in the Women's World Cup. It'll never be played on it again. Authenticity is not an artificial surface. Is there a lot of money being made from the artificial surface? Absolutely, 100%. And people are making money off it. I understand it in the inner city where there's not enough dirt. I don't understand it when we're in an entertainment business, and maybe the Portland fans and maybe the Seattle fans should be making some noise about that, because they're the only ones who can change it. But the good times are rolling there, and you know, it's sellout after sellout in Portland. It's sellout after sellout in Seattle. I've never seen a movement from the fans to say, hey, what's the story? Why are we playing on an artificial surface? You can tell me all you want. Seahawks control it. It's okay. Seattle, you've been the leaders. You've done things differently. But you're not authentic on that surface, and you're not authentic in Portland on that surface. And I know they've looked at it. It's that was not good soccer. That was not a good advertisement, I'm sorry, for Major League Soccer, the Dynamo at Portland this weekend. This is honesty. And if you call that an entertaining game, that's not a game you want to show people. With all due respect. Doesn't mean the effort wasn't there. Doesn't mean the coaches didn't do good jobs. Doesn't mean the players didn't. They can't produce a good game devoid of their stars and then devoid of a proper playing surface. So I want your thoughts on that. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. So the Dynamo score a legitimate goal. And guess what? Baldomero Toledo says it's not a legitimate goal. This was one of the worst calls I think we have seen, and we've seen some bad ones, but this robbed the Dynamo of the opening goal on the road. So here's what it sounded like on Root Sports. Brad Davis did not make the trip along with Boniek Garcia. Lopez, great shooting opportunity. And what a finish. No, the offside flag is up.
Right.
Excuse me, it's a foul, and the goal will not count. You heard the whistle very early. So actually, it was Jorge Villafañe who took up not the best of defensive positions. And there was a run made around Ricardo Clark. And Villafañe runs into Clark and goes down. Now, a couple of things here. Villafañe has a little bit of a reputation for diving. You would see that later on in this game as well. And by the way, he had a good game on the left side. He's the one who whipped in the ball for the first goal for Portland. It's not a penalty. It's a good, legitimate goal. The Dynamo should be up 1-0. They don't get the game's opening goal, and we all know it could be different. And again, this is without Brad Davis. This is without Boniac Garcia. These are not excuses. This is without Giles Barnes, who, by the way, when Giles Barnes is not on the field for the Houston Dynamo, an opponent can look at them completely differently. That's fact. Okay, we don't have to be brain surgeons to figure that out. Jermaine Taylor, who's been having a solid year as well. So it's tough. And others have to live up to it. Others get opportunity. That's the only way it can be positioned, that this is an opportunity for others to shine and impress a manager. But I'll tell you what, if I'm Owen Coyle, it's tough. And I know they're not the only team that go through it. Why should anybody have to go through it? And that's why you get on the international schedule. Now, to complicate things, the Dynamo have the Open Cup coming up now against Colorado. And they also have four of their next five against Western Conference opponents. And they are going to be depending on the depth of their roster during this time period, because there is going to be a lot of guys moving in and moving out. DeMarcus Beasley could get called up because he's part of the 30-man provisional roster. They could add him during the quarterfinals if Jurgen Klinsmann wants to. All right, so then Portland and Caleb Porter, who have been rotating their strikers, they get the game's opening goal. Here's what it sounded like on Root Sports.
Portland off a very dangerous set piece here. In it comes. The header! It's 1-0 Portland. Spectacular header. It comes off a set piece. It's Maxi Arruti.
The whipped-in delivery from Villafañe was excellent. It's hit hard. It's driven in. And the way the goal is taken is excellent. Dynamo couldn't get there and attack it. So that's it. That makes it 1-0, and then second half, well, they would get another goal from another Argentine, and here's what it sounded like.
Arruti has scored. It's 2-0 Portland on a controversial penalty.
And it was actually Gaston Fernandez, the commentator named Glenn Davis, got Arruti and Gaston mixed up. But we quickly corrected it on the air. So it was Fernandez and Arruti. So the two Argentines who really didn't do a lot during open play, there weren't a lot of chances during open play, they both score. They're big goals. And then they bring on Fernando Adi, and then they bring on Diego Valeri to try and kill the game off. It was a tough night. Will Bruin got very little of the ball. The Dynamo didn't have enough of a wide game, although they had two or three legitimate chances. A spectacular sort of back-to-goal falling down over the head bicycle kick by Ricardo Clark. And then a wonderful dummy coming from our guy out of the University of North Carolina, our rookie, who dummies it. DeMarcus Beasley gets in behind and probably should have scored there. And it's maybe a different game. But then you go back to the Raul Rodriguez goal, a well-taken finish, should have stood, and the Dynamo would have been up 1-0 on the road, and the game looks very different from a tactical perspective. The bright part of this game, for me, comes from this. It comes from the substitutes who come on. Now, granted, at this point, when the subs come on, it is a time period where the Portland Timbers are looking to kind of see the game out a little bit. And by the way, it was Rob Lovejoy. My apologies, who dummied that ball to DeMarcus Beasley. But Alex comes on, the Brazilian, who was acquired from the Chicago Fire, He actually calms the game down for the Dynamo and becomes a bit of the fulcrum. I think during this match, Alexander Lopez was trying to be that guy. But ultimately, you know, you look at this team a little bit differently without the likes of those four international players. I don't think there's any question. But the substitutes, I think, come off the bench and do wonderful. Rob Lovejoy started beating people out wide, which the Dynamo didn't have a lot of that. Didn't have a wide game. It's tough because Alexander Lopez is really not an out-and-out winger, so he kind of comes inside. So that puts the pressure on Kofi Sarkodie and DeMarcus Beasley to bring the wide game in the attack as well. But Lovejoy started beating people and brought a different energy. I don't think there's any question. He has become a really, really valuable sub off the bench for Houston. 9 out of 10 times he helps change the game. And then I thought Alex, the Brazilian, had some good moments and actually was the first guy who was really able to kind of consistently play in to a striker. Now, rest assured, the game was a little different. The Dynamo had a little bit more time on the ball based on a deeper defending Portland at that time at 2-0. So let's get your thoughts on the Portland Timbers. 713-780-3776, the Houston Dynamo. What do you see for the Dynamo coming up with 4 out of 5 against the Western Conference? And that begins this Friday against FC Dallas. 713-780-3776. Also take your calls on, can the women win the World Cup? That's another one we got to get into tonight. Brad Davis today was called up to the 23-man roster for the Gold Cup. Now, for some, that's a surprise. I had a chance to catch up with Brad here. A lot of this is about experience and guiding young players. That's really what I truly believe in. So here's another complication for the manager, Owen Coyle. So here's Brad Davis and I down at training session today.
All right, the captain joins us now, Brad Davis, here on ESPN 97.5. Brad, thank you very much, as always, for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about the exciting news. You're part of the Gold Cup 23-man roster here, and you've won a Gold Cup before with the United States, have hit penalties in the World Cup. It must be very exciting to get called in again for this important tournament.
Absolutely. This is an extremely fun tournament, to be a part of. It happens here in the U.S. in front of our fans. We have a great track record in this tournament. So this is going to be a lot of fun. I think we have a good group. The team's coming off a couple great wins in Europe. Putting good strides forward to keep this program pushing forward. And this is another great opportunity for us to, cement ourselves in the world of soccer. So it's extremely honoring every time you get to put on that U.S. jersey. So I'm looking forward to getting in with the guys and putting in some work.
Talk about looking from the outside in on those historic results against the Netherlands and Germany. And I know people are conditioning them. They're friendly and all. Let's get your thoughts on that.
If we didn't win them, people would be saying, we can't win in Europe. We can't do anything. The fact of the matter is the team stepped on the field. They won the games. So no matter what you say about it, whether it's a friendly, we've been using that excuse for a long time. It's a friendly. It's this. It's that. I guarantee you when the Netherlands and Germany stepped on the field, they wanted to win the game. Two teams battled, and fortunately, I think our guys did a great job. Got some great results. So people can say it's a friendly or whatever it might be. It doesn't matter. You still won the game.
Yeah, 50,000 Germans didn't go to that stadium to see Germany lose, I don't think, at home as the World Cup champions. All right, and yourself, you've had some bone bruise issues here. How's everything health-wise for you?
It's going well. It's been a little bit longer process than I would have liked. I came back and tried to play through it a couple of times put myself in a little bit of a setback. So this time through, I've really tried to be smart with our staff and with our trainers and things like that. So to make sure when I come back, I'm 100% healthy. So things are moving in the right direction. I'm doing well, getting back into training. Feeling good, feeling confident, confidence back in the knee and moving around and things like that. So I'm happy where I am. So hopefully it continues to push forward.
Yeah, what are some of the things Jurgen's saying to you? And you mentioned experience is obviously a pretty easy one for everybody to tag with you going into that team. That will have some younger players.
Yeah, that was one of his things that he wanted me to be a part of this group for was, the experience, obviously, with the World Cup last year. I've had experience in this tournament before, but a lot of it just dealing with CONCACAF teams. A lot of these games can get a bit scrappy, a bit ugly, handling the referees and handling the other teams and things like that with going through all of qualifying last year. And obviously throughout my career playing against CONCACAF teams all the time, I think one of the big things he wanted me to be part of the group with is those kind of experience and maybe a little bit of leadership with that. So, I'm happy that he told me those things to, that he's thinking about me in those types of situations. I'm extremely happy to be able to go back into this group with some young guys. Hopefully can pass on a little bit of knowledge and go in with the group, work hard, and hopefully we can get some great results.
You brought up an interesting point, adjusting to differing referees. Mm-hmm. Do referees in CONCACAF from different countries, do you notice that the definition of a foul may be different to each one of those individual referees from different countries?
Absolutely. And I don't want to get into talking about referees, but it's not an easy thing to handle or to deal with. There's a lot of yellow cards and different fouls called that are fouls, and then 2 minutes later they're not fouls. So it's difficult to kind of pin down in a game what you're going to get called for, what's punishable, what's not punishable. And you can kind of see your teammates and the other teams kind of getting heated a little bit, and to be able to have that composure and that calmness out there is extremely important, because you don't want to be getting yellow cards for stupid reasons or getting in trouble for dumb reasons. The best thing to do is just to try and walk away and continue on to the next play, but it's extremely difficult to do that sometimes. But it's part of it. It happens all the time, and in CONCACAF it seems to happen a lot more. So
that was Brad Davis today. So Brad Davis called up to the Gold Cup, and believe me, the pressure is on Jurgen Klinsmann to win it. The pressure is on Miguel Herrera of Mexico to win it. And we're talking Costa Rica. We're talking Honduras. Everybody's got designs on trying to win this thing. And guess what? You got the CONCACAF Gold Cup Group B doubleheader, and it'll be right down at BBVA Compass Stadium Saturday, July 11th, 5:30 p.m. It kicks off. You can watch Giles Barnes and Jermaine Taylor against Canada, and then you got the Ticos of Costa Rica against El Salvador. These games are going to be packed here in Houston. And by the way, let's not forget what Costa Rica did in the last World Cup, Men's World Cup, winning their group. All right, the Women's World Cup is going on. Do you think the U.S. can win it? What do you think of the U.S. win over Colombia yesterday? I want your thoughts. Let's go to the phone line, 713-780-3776. Colson, what do you have to say, Colson?
Hey, Glenn, how's it going? I'm not sure how on topic this is or not, but I was just, there's been so much commentary on the men's game versus the women's game. And one of my observations was just that the men's, the World Cup for the men started in 1930 and for the women, 1991. And so the comparison I would make is just that, the President's Cup in golf is a newer tournament, started in the 90s, that I think would otherwise be an exciting plot line, but it doesn't draw the same ratings as, say, a Ryder Cup, which is, founded in, I think, the 20s. So, really, I was just thinking that I think the women's game is great. I think it's really actually going to do very well, just like the men's game has been doing. And I just think with time, that Women's World Cup is going to be an even better TV draw. And once it just gets more like 30, 40, 50 years of history, I just think that makes it a better draw and just a more interesting story.
Well, listen, you make a great point. It's only the 7th Women's World Cup. I think, sometimes people say, well, we should have it all right here, right now, and they don't understand how long it's taken. The first thing for the women's game is to become socially acceptable all over the world. Even teams that are going there aren't getting the investment like an Ecuador. Ecuador's not there to win games. Ecuador's there to make a statement that they got there and that they need new incentive and financial backing, and so that young women can begin to pick the game up at 6, 7, and 8 years of age. I mean, these are social things, but you can't expect things to be equal when the men's World Cup has begun all the way back in the 30s and has all this history, as you say. Patience is a big thing. You do things to move it forward, and this Women's World Cup is going to move it forward because they are getting some exceptional ratings for the U.S. games on the network. So it's fascinating. I mean, the winner of the Women's World Cup is going to get $2 million, and the winner Germany, I think, took home $35 million. Is that fair? Sure, it's fair, because that's where the games are popularity-wise. You know what? These are pioneering times for the women's game. Now, for me, the biggest question is, when you come back from a U.S. perspective, how does this parlay into making the NWSL a more popular league and more popular in the cities it plays in. And I think right now they finally got to the point where they understand that running a women's soccer team on a daily basis is far different than these wonderful international events that the United States women just seem to live up to time after time after time, whether it's Olympics or World Cups.
I think you're spot on everything you said. Hey, Glenn, thanks for taking the call. I really appreciate it, and I love your commentary on TV.
Thank you very much, Colson. I appreciate your call. Let's go to Jason. Jason, what do you have? Hi, Jason.
Hey, Glenn. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, first kind of comment or question is, you know, I was watching the game last night, and I've been watching most all the games that I can when I'm not at work for the Women's World Cup. But I noticed kind of an interesting commentary note, and you know, you don't have to talk about the announcers, but you know, if that goal in the fourth minute had gone in, do you think the game would have changed a lot last night? Do you think with Colombia would have having to chase so much more early on that maybe the U.S. would have won by more goals? And would that have changed the commentary and the perspective of, you know, how the U.S. was playing in that game? So that's my first question, and I'll leave you to answer that.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, we all know that goals change games. If the Dynamo... Raul Rodriguez scores a legitimate goal in Portland. Could that have changed the game? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Abby Wambach was clearly offside. It would have been up to, I think it was Tobin Heath, who took the shot, and the goalkeeper made a good save. But Abby Wambach was in an offside position. But you're right. That goal goes in. The game could have been different. The U.S. could have found some confidence. The thing that's a little bit worrying to me is that the team, certainly from an attacking standpoint, looks a bit one-dimensional. They are certainly shining in the area, and I think the back four deserve a tremendous amount of credit. They're shining in that area defensively. I mean, they protected Hope Solo pretty much most of the tournament, except for in the early stages against Australia. But the back four has been, I think, really, really good. Julie Johnson, Megan Klingenberger, the Houston Dash. I mean, the back four, I think, has been incredibly solid. They are the story to me. It's not glamorous. I think Abby Wambach to me looked very sluggish in this game, cumbersome. And I have to think that every step she takes, she's in pain and she's legendary. But things are going to change in the future with this team. I would expect a lot of change has to occur with the U.S. Women's National Team, because regardless of what happens from here on out, Jason, there are a lot of things to be gleaned from these early games. And one of them, again, and this should not come as any surprise to anybody, because 4 years ago we were saying this on the radio show, is that be careful. Great soccer-playing nations with great, passionate soccer cultures are going to get the athletic side of it down, and they're going to get some investment in the game, or their players are going to go to other countries like the U.S., to the college ranks or to pro leagues, and they're going to get the necessary experience, and they're going to marry that with the technical side of the game and their soccer culture per their country, and they are going to become forces a la France, a la Colombia, upsetting France. So 4 years from now, it's going to be even better. So the United States, it's a bit of a warning shot. And that doesn't mean they still can't win this Women's World Cup, but they certainly have, from an aesthetic value, not played very well. And you know what? I think it's healthy that U.S. fans are going, why aren't we playing better soccer, even though we're winning? Why aren't we playing better soccer? I think that's just a great statement of the growth of the game and the healthy pressure that continues to thrive. And when Jill Ellis stands up and tries to sell us that this was a tremendous game and the U.S. played so well, everybody's crying, you know, BS, come on. We're educated now. We know the game. And your fan base knows the game. Don't sell us that. This was not great soccer. And I know you have to be careful in the media, but I think she could have handled that better, because she got a lot of criticism, and I think she brought it upon herself. I think it was a bad move. Anything, Jason? Anything more?
Well, I was going to ask you about the rumors with Peter Cech going to Arsenal. You know, I'm a Liverpool fan, and so I pay attention when the transfer window opens. What are some of the rumors you've been hearing? I know there's a lot of rumors swirling around Arsenal and Chelsea right now, considering, you know, titles and all that sort of stuff. You know, do you think that's a good move for both Arsenal and Chelsea, or kind of, What's your take on that? And I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Jason. I'll tell you what. We'll talk a little bit more about that in depth. But Peter Cech, I would love to see Arsenal pick him up. Get a holding midfielder and try and win the title. And it would make for great storylines when Arsenal would play Chelsea. So some of you who are Chelsea or Arsenal fans, I would love to hear from you. Manchester United fans, you got Memphis Depay. 713-780-3776. We'll take a 7-Up break right now. Our thanks to Bud Light, Bayern Munich, Daspit Law Firm, Liberty Kitchen, and the gorgeous Gale. We'll be back with more.
ESPN 97.5.
Go ahead, London.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we come back with Big Audio Dynamite. You might know Mick Jones, formerly of The Clash. Got in an argument with Joe Strummer. He went out and started Big Audio Dynamite, a song called Bad, and it's a good one. Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24-7. Houston personal injury attorney handles personal injury cases from plant and refinery accidents, medical injuries, industrial accidents, right on down to 18-wheeler. Boat, car, wrongful death, it's all there. It's DaspitLaw.com. Call 713-364-0915. My thanks to John Daspit and DaspitLaw.com for supporting soccer on the radio. With the Daspit Law Firm, you can rest more assured in times of stress, depending on the circumstances of your accident, that you got a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side to fight for your right for compensation. Contact the Daspit Law Firm, supporters of the great game of soccer. 713-364-0915, toll-free, 888-273-1045 in English and Spanish. And Soccer Matters, thanks, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So we do appreciate very much their contributions. By the way, 7-Up, great solo or as a mixer. 7-Up, enjoy the crisp, clean taste of 7-Up. It delivers more of the natural lemon-lime flavor you love. Great in a Paloma, by the way, which I always have mentioned. So is Squirt. No caffeine, 100% natural flavor. 7-Up, always refreshing. Don't forget 7-Up 10, which has the full flavor of 7-Up with only 10 calories. Finally, the perfect 10. We remind you to get over to Facebook, Soccer Matters, posting over there a lot. And those of you who are big fans of the Blitz, well, I'm going to put a picture of the one and only Fred Fowler up over there with the giant Gold Cup. Fred said he tried to do an interview with the Gold Cup. The Gold Cup was keeping it close to the vest. But it's a great picture. And, you know, I appreciate Fred Fowler, and I'll tell you why, and AJ. You know, you don't have to love soccer. It doesn't need to be your first love. It doesn't need to be your second. But when somebody in mainstream media respects it for its global nature and shows that they understand where the sport fits worldwide and that it is the most popular sport in the world and look beyond just the traditional sports here, that's impressive. Because it's a global game in a global city. And the city of Houston, Texas, I mean, we are only scratching the surface when it comes to being the soccer city we can become. And there are so many great things going on in our soccer community. So to Fred, I say thank you, and AJ. And really, this everybody over here at Gao Media for taking the sport of soccer very seriously. All right, so the Copa America continues on. There's been some really strange stuff happening down there. Neymar ejected, sent off, pretty much out of the tournament. Arturo Vidal then gets caught in a drunk driving incident. He is now, this was in a Ferrari. He was under the influence of alcohol during the tournament. He was at a casino on an afternoon off. This is during the Copa America. He avoids jail, has his license revoked, but he's still playing in the tournament. There is a double standard. There is entitlement. Edinson Cavani, the Uruguayan striker, who will, we don't know, potentially play in the quarterfinal with the host nation, Chile, may or may not play because his father, Luis Cavani, knocked down and killed a 19-year-old motorcyclist on Monday night. This coming out of Uruguay. So PSG striker Edison Cavani, who plays for Uruguay, may be missing one of the biggest games of his life. His father got in an accident. So a lot of tragedies surrounding this tournament. It's pretty bizarre. All right, we got World in Motion. One of the great soccer songs of all time. You get some rap from former England striker John Barnes is here. We'll take a break. We come back. We got a lot more to go on the show tonight. Jeff Cameron, Tom Marshall, Christine Latham, former Canadian national team member, and your calls at 713-780-3776. Right now, I got a pair of tickets. Mexico, Honduras, 10th caller right now at 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.